Welcome to Hype episode 91. My name is Selena and I'm joined for this week's podcast by Kyle, Kristen, and Pam for another packed show. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Oh.
Hi.
Before we get into this week's many news stories, we want to remind you of the contact information so you can write in your thoughts about what we talked about this week, what you want us to talk about next week, anything that you think would be interesting to do a special about and stuff like that. You can do that in one of several ways. You can find us on hypable.com, which is hypable.com. Find us in the podcast section. You can find us on Twitter at hypablehype. You can find us on Instagram at hypablehype, and you can find us, or you can send us an email, hype@hypable.com. We look forward to hearing from you. We also just really briefly want to tell you that me, Pam, and Merrima are very proud of ourselves because we finally released the first Gilmore Girls special episode for season one. So it's on our feed right now. It's on Hypable. I'm spoiler free, so... But we still had a really good discussion. I listened to it the other day, and it actually turned out really well. I totally forgot because we recorded it so long ago.
Well, I was listening to it while I was editing, and I was like, this is so fun. So we really hope you guys enjoy it. And remember, I know we keep saying this, but like we'll be just discussing the season that is labeled on the title for the episode. So if you haven't like caught all the way up to season 7, then you can totally still enjoy the shows as you watch each season. So
yeah,
we decided it would be better to do it that way so that everybody could follow along.
Mm-hmm. And as we say, we'll be doing one for each season leading up to the Netflix revival, which we still don't know when is, so we're just going to release them every once in a while and hope we manage to hit it fairly accurately. But you can find all that on our iTunes feed, and if you're not subscribed, please subscribe to our iTunes feed. That way you don't miss any shows, and we bump ourselves up in the iTunes rankings just a tiny bit, so helping hopefully other people find us. So that would be a huge help to us. All right, enough talk about ourselves. Let's talk about ourselves and how we hype. How appropriate. Let's talk about what we've all been doing in fandom this past week. Kristen, why don't you go first?
Sure. I made Karen watch Cloverfield last Thursday night, I think it was, which she was definitely like scared. I've seen it before and I love that movie, so I was very much looking forward to that. And this was all in preparation for 10 Cloverfield Lane because she refused to see that without seeing the first one. Not that they actually affect each other, but she refused. But we went and saw 10 Cloverfield Lane yesterday. Loved it. You don't have to know anything about Cloverfield to see that movie and enjoy it, but it's just very different. It's so the world that everything that's going on in that movie could make up like three different movies. There's so much going on. And I think, honestly, I know people were talking about this movie kind of being a prequel to Cloverfield. Honest to God, I think it happens simultaneously. Like, I think it's probably, the storyline probably takes place at the same time that Cloverfield took place. So it was a really, really interesting, crazy trip to the movie theater, but I loved it. So you should all go see it.
All right. Sounds good. Pam, what about you?
So I did some pretty fun stuff this weekend. I'm out in LA doing a bunch of different things, but I went to see our hype friends in Spies Are Forever. We had Mary-Kate Wiles and Joey Richter on a couple weeks ago.
Yay.
And they very graciously gave me a couple of tickets to come see them during opening week. And oh my gosh, you guys, it is the play is just so, so funny. I don't know if they're going to release it on YouTube or if it's just for supporters that help them kickstart the show, but it's so worth it if you can get a chance to see it. If you're out in the LA area for any reason, or if you don't live too far away and you're a fan of, you know, the stuff they've done before, like Lizzie Betta Diaries or Star Kid or even like Poe Party, which they have out now, you're definitely going to love this. It really plays up a lot of the tropes of spy movies, like the things that you see in James Bond and stuff like that. It's a fun little nod to even like Man from U.N.C.L.E. And it was just so great. We were pretty much laughing nonstop. My favorite numbers were Somebody's Gotta Do It and Not So Bad. So if you have seen it, tweet at me or tweet at the show, because we'd love to hear what you guys thought. And I really hope they release this so the rest of you guys can enjoy it, because I really think that you would love it too. So shout out to them for doing such a great job. And thanks for letting us come.
This is so cool. It's like we've been following the story from the beginning. You know, we heard you get invited.
Now you're gone. Shut up. Yeah. And so I was hoping to stop and say hi, because despite the fact that Marima sees Mary-Kate every time she's out here, I've never met her before. But mm-hmm. We just had to run at the end of the show, unfortunately. But it definitely is worth going to see, like I said, if you're out here. And they're over in North Hollywood at the NoHo Arts Center until April 3rd. And then also very quickly, since I was out in North Hollywood, which is very close to Burbank and Universal Studios, I also went out to the Wizarding World and just experienced the magic of being immersed into Harry Potter. And it was like, every time I go, like I haven't been since Orlando. It opened in Orlando in like 2010. But every time I go, which is not very often, obviously, I think I get like an emotional, visceral reaction to one thing in the park, because the attention to detail, like if you've been, you'll know, the attention to detail is so wonderful. And it's like you think that you know, but you don't even know how much effort they put into this. Like the first time I went, I was walking by a window and I just like I literally started crying because I saw Mimbulus Mimbletonia. And I was just like, how did they think to put this in here? So it's just little things like that where you don't think that you're like, you know, it's really gonna get you. But yeah, it's just it's so great. And if you're in, you know, the LA area, now you can come to the Wizarding World over here. So.
Oh, yeah. I'll totally do that.
Yeah, when you're out here for Comic-Con, you know.
Yes, I'll just spend another couple of thousands of dollars to go.
I mean,
oh, my God.
Can you put a price on happiness? I don't think so.
Yes, you can in this corporate world. It's too high.
It's too high. Okay, anyway, that's all I have.
Okay, sounds good. So yeah, I saw a movie today, or I saw a movie this week as well, because it was my mom's birthday. So we went to see Spotlight, because it like recently came out here, obviously, because it won the Oscar for Best Picture. So everyone's like, oh yeah, we should probably show that some more. And I know we all talked about it, and like I think it was you, Pam, who really loved it. And like as a fellow journalist, I also very much enjoyed it. And I enjoyed the fact that we got to see the process, and it was so unsexual in a way, like it was just or unsexy. It was like watching. It was so weird, because obviously the topic matter. It's very hard to watch, but in some way, like just watching them do their job in this really long movie was like nice. You know, it was like you were like, I trust these guys. I know it's gonna work out, so I can just kind of enjoy. And the one thing I will say, just because maybe it'll be interesting, is that as a Nordic person, I feel like these are the types of movies that we see here all the time, but much, much, much more like worse or like more intense. Like before this movie, there was a trailer for a Danish movie about a group of boys at an orphanage. I think it was like during the war or like a little bit after that, where they were like beaten and just like almost killed and like so psychologically tortured, and it was just like the worst thing. And like that little 2-minute trailer got me like, oh my god, the world is horrible. And then I got to see Spotlight, and it sort of, I mean, it felt a little bit sanitized, so I think that, you know, but it's nice to see America sort of do more movies like this that are just sort of stripped back, and they're not afraid to make their actors look a little bit like not having brushed their hair or whatever, you know, like it was very refreshing, I think. And it was a very nice movie. Also because again, we know it worked out for them.
No, but I'm so glad that you finally saw it, because I think Merriman and I were both so like, we just loved it so much. So, mm-hmm. So I liked it too.
I liked it a lot, especially Rachel McAdams. I said on Twitter too, she was just astonishingly good. Like there was just something about her performance that was so gripping. And again, I loved how real it was. So, yeah, big thumbs up to Spotlight, and big thumbs down to that trailer I saw before the movie, because that freaked me out. So our final How We Hype is from Kyle, who has hyped an article on Hypeable.
Yes, I'm hyping an article on Hypeable that I wrote. And it's an open letter to all the celebrities that have left Twitter. Just because it's so disheartening when people like Joss Whedon and Jeff Davis and like people like that just leave Twitter and they're just like, okay, I can't handle like all the negativity, and like they delete their account, like they stop responding. Because it's so important to have them as part of the conversation and be a part of the community of artists on Twitter to help like support fellow artists and inspire them to create and stuff. So I don't know if you're interested in reading that and thinking why I think they should come back, go ahead and check that out.
Okay, sounds good. You can find that and much more on hypeable.com. Moving into the news now, we're going to start with a pretty big story in fandom, which is, of course, everyone's most hyped up fandom right now. I think it's growing ever closer. We're 2 months away.
Oh, yes. You guys, we got a brand new trailer for Captain America Civil War, and oh my gosh, it pretty much just had everything. It did such a great job of building up the tension that's going to unfold on the screen between Tony and, oh my gosh, I was like on a roll, and then Steve. Tony and Steve. My bad. You know when you have like a brain fart because you're so excited about something? Like that was this right now. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, just does a great job of building up the tension between Iron Man and Cap that we're going to see when the movie comes out in May. We got a lot more Black Panther, which I know really everybody was really excited about because we only saw snippets of him in the first teaser. We got this heart-wrenching moment when Cap says, "I could do this all day," which was a terrible throwback to the first Captain America movie. And finally, we got our first look at Tom Holland as Spider-Man. Or at least his voice, because, you know, Spidey's kind of in his Spidey suit right at the tail end. And I think that was just kind of the proverbial cherry on the cake. So I want to know what you guys thought about this, because I feel like everybody had some kind of reaction when this came out.
So it's really funny that you say this, because I was looking at our list of stories to talk about today, and I saw a Civil War trailer, and I was like, wait, there's a Civil War trailer? And I was like, I only remember, like, a Spider-Man trailer coming out. I was like, wait a minute, it was a Spider-Man trailer. That's the only thing a lot of people were really excited about, because all of my friends on Facebook, literally every single post I saw was Spider-Man! Oh my gosh! Ah! So, it was really interesting, and I look forward to it. I have no idea what to expect. I'm not, like, super hardcore, like, superhero nerd, so I don't necessarily know what Civil War is going to be about, even though I can grasp the concept. So, I don't know, this trailer made me really excited. Although I have seen a meme online where they show the Civil War in the comics, and it has, like, 50 superheroes, and then they show Civil War in the movies, and they just saw, like, the six, like, running and fighting at each other. And I thought mm-hmm. that was really funny.
Yeah. yeah, Karen and I bought our tickets immediately following this trailer. Like, it was like it reminded us that we needed to buy tickets for Civil War. Yeah, she was so excited. I'm excited about the movie. I just tend to not watch trailers. But I did watch this one because it was a great one anyway. Loved the Black Panther stuff. And Steve's line, I think Karen was like affected like the whole day. She was like, "Kristen, but he could do this all day."
And you know what? Don't make fun of Karen. I commiserate with that.
No.
That was me. So,
no, I totally get it. Like, I totally understand why people are so affected by it. Like, I totally get it. It just, for me, I'm like trying really hard not to know too much, because I always enjoy the movie more when I don't know too much. So while everyone else, I know everyone loves watching these trailers, I try really hard not to like get too invested before, because I know I'll love it more. It's just me and my geeky self.
That totally makes sense.
Yeah. But Karen spent a very long time that day breaking down the trailer with Danya, and they put together an article. So if you want to know each and every bit of detail from the trailer, check that out. It's on Hypeable.
Mm-hmm. Selena, I need to know, was there enough Bucky in this trailer for you?
I'm glad you asked the important questions, fam. I'm waiting for this. No, yeah, you know what? It's funny because I saw this trailer and like unlike the first one, which is all like, I remember your mom and the newspapers and all that. Like, this one was obviously so action-oriented, and it was all about the conflict between Steve and Tony. And for a non-fan like me, you might be tempted to forget that this is in fact what the movie is about. It's not actually about Steve and Bucky's epic friendship. But you know what I did think was funny was that even though the movie was, like, the trailer was technically not about Bucky at all, he was in, like, every other shot. He was just there. And I was thinking, either, like, the people doing the trailer just really love him and they're like, we have to meet our Bucky quota, or he's just in the movie so much that it's impossible to avoid. And, like, either is good with me. So I was pleased. I'm not as excited about Spider-Man as most people, because I'm like, we've seen it, two movies of him, and I've had, like, my fill of Spider-Man for many decades. So I'm sure the movie will change that for me. But right now, I'm just like, yeah, no, Bucky is what I'm here for. So and Steve, of course. I really enjoy that thing that Karen and Danya put together on Hyperboy. By the way, I can highly recommend that if you want to dive a little deeper.
Yeah, I totally agree. That was great.
So our next story is equally big, perhaps. We are moving from Marvel to Star Wars because Disney owns our souls. The Han Solo spin-off movie is casting its young Han Solo, and everyone is waiting with bated breath because obviously this is an extremely iconic role, and Han Solo worked because of Harrison Ford. So the young Han Solo movie is going to work because of this actor. The shortlist for the spin-off has been revealed. It's down to three actors, and I'm very excited to read out loud this first name. The first one is Alden Ehrenreich. Ehrenreich. It's Alden, our friend from Beautiful Creatures and Hail Caesar. I have not seen this guy in anything, so I'm going to move on. Next is Jack Renner, who played Shane Dyson in Transformers Age of Extinction. And finally, there's a guy that I do know, Taron Egerton, who, as Andrew said, or Karen said, captured everyone's attention as Eggsy in Kingsman.
That one, please.
And he's an Eddie the Eagle, too. I just saw a trailer for that, too, and I could not recognize him at all. So I was like, I know, right? He's that chameleon.
Yeah.
So before we get into our thoughts on it, just quickly, we did a poll on our Hype Twitter feed, and we had hundreds of responses. No, we had 141 responses, and of those 141 responses, 66% wanted Taron Egerton, 18% wanted our friend Alden, and 16% wanted Jack Renner. So I also think, and I don't know if I'm right about this, that this may have something to do with the fact that Taron Egerton is the only one we know. At least that's the case for me.
Probably. But we also kind of know that he can do kind of actiony and scruffy from Kingsman Secret Service. So I think that that might be aside from the most well-known.
Oh, no. Right.
My reasoning for Taron is, as you all can probably guess, is that he's the most attractive one, clearly. By far.
Kyle, okay. You're so basic.
I know, but I mean, like, also, like, taking a deeper thought into it, you know, like, he is really good in Kingsman, and he plays really, like, cunning and sarcastic and kind of, like, a dick, but, like, you still love him, you know? So, like the article says, I think he can pull it off really well.
Has anyone seen any of the other ones in anything?
I have not seen
Hail Caesar.
I've seen Hail Caesar, and I've seen Dark, whatever the thing, Beautiful Creatures is what he was in, the other guy. And he was pretty good. Like, I mean, it was Beautiful Creatures. It wasn't, like, a cinematic masterpiece, but he was really good in it. And I thought he was really charming in Hail Caesar, for sure. So I can see both of them doing it more so than I can the middle person. And I'm terrible with names right now because I don't have the article up, but...
No, and they are hard names to begin with.
Yeah, they are.
Kristen, what's your preference?
Yeah, I haven't seen the other two.
No, me neither. It's very hard to.
Yeah, I haven't seen them in anything because I haven't yet seen Hail Caesar. It's on that ever-present list of mine. And I never got a chance to see Beautiful Creatures. So, like, I don't know the other two. I know Taron Egerton because I did see Kingsman. But I'm not sure I'm sold on any of them, and I'm a little nervous because I don't know. It's you know, they're playing a young Harrison Ford basically, and I'm reserving judgment. I will see the movie, I'm sure. So, you know, I'll just hold out hope that whoever they do cast is good.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there are, according to a Hollywood Reporter, according to a Variety reporter, there are a couple of people that haven't gone out of the running yet. Blake Jenner and Jack O'Connell are apparently still in the running.
Jenner, you know, obviously. What? Hmm? I changed my vote. If Jack O'Connor's in the running, I want him to be an
everyone. Okay.
Because he's so good, you guys. He's great.
Okay. Who is this?
Yeah. And Jack O'Connor, that he's from, like, he did, what is it, Unbreakable? Is it Unbreakable? Mm-hmm. Horror drama. And then he was also in Skins. I really think he's a very multifaceted actor. And, okay. Yeah, and I think that if he's, like, the running, that would be fine with me. Mm-hmm. Because at this point, it's like, I don't think any of them are really going to have, like, the Harrison Ford type look that we're going for. But if we're going just based on skill, I think that he could bring a lot to the table because he's just wonderful in everything he does.
It's so funny you say that because I was just going to say, like, to close this out, like, looking at the three pictures, and obviously Karen chose the pictures, and they might look different on other pictures, but you can see these three guys, what the casting directors are seeing in Harrison Ford that they want to replicate in the look, because they all look the same. Like, they have the same quality about them. Mm-hmm. And the thing I see in young Harrison Ford is not this. Like, it's much more like, what's it, Ansel Elgort? Like, he's much more the young Harrison Ford I see, because he wasn't really that rugged. And he wasn't really, like, this. The young Harrison Ford, when you see him in Star Wars, he had this quality to him that wasn't what any of these guys have. These guys are much more like an older Harrison Ford gone younger, you know what I mean? Because he's gotten a lot more sort of rough in later years.
Just looking at the pictures, I think Alden has probably the cleanest look. Granted, the guy in the middle, his picture, you can tell he's in a role. So he might have a lot more makeup on than you even know. So who knows? But yeah, I don't know.
Just good luck to every single person, and good luck to the person who gets picked, because they're going to have the world's biggest shoes to fill, no matter who it is. We're never going to think the person is going to be perfect, ever. So
no.
It's
gonna... Unless they pick Taron Egerton, who apparently everyone loves and wants to see in everything. but you're absolutely right. This is going to be huge. I just looked at a picture of Jack Renner, and Karen is right. He looks way more like Chris Pratt than he does Harrison Ford.
Didn't they say they wanted Chris Pratt for Indiana Jones? Wasn't that the rumor? So there you go. It all ties together.
I just sent you guys a picture. I legit thought that was Chris Pratt.
That's so fun.
Oh, that's hilarious. So, yeah, you guys obviously.
Oh my god. That's not Chris Pratt?
No, it's him. That's what I said. That's pretty crazy, actually.
Oh my god.
We'll be following this story very closely as they narrow the shortlist down even more. And we'll be bringing you the latest news about that on Hype. And of course, please write in about this because we want to hear your thoughts. So, staying on the topic of Harrison Ford.
Yeah, speaking of Chris Pratt and Harrison Ford with the rumor mills everywhere, the rumor mill is no more, as Indiana Jones 5 is officially, like, actually announced by Disney. Like, what? So Disney, it's not a dream. It feels like I'm talking about a dream and a rumor, but it's not. Indiana Jones 5 is going to open on July 19th, 2019, with Steven Spielberg at the helm, and Harrison Ford is going to be in the starring role. So Harrison Ford is coming back, despite all the other rumors that we had, like, earlier in the year and last year, that Chris Pratt was going to take over the helm. Nope, Harrison Ford is going to be the one to return. We don't know if Shia LaBeouf is going to make it, because he was in Indiana Jones 4, which opened almost 10 years ago in 2008. What's notable is that George Lucas, who normally produced Indiana Jones, is not attached to the press release. So, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Though. I think that makes sense, because he's kind of, like, relinquished his rights to Star Wars. So it would make sense that he's kind of, like, settling down in his old age, doesn't really want to do that kind of stuff anymore. So that doesn't really surprise me, to be honest with you.
And I feel like with how well Force Awakens went without George Lucas, I think Indiana Jones 5 has an opportunity to be way better than Indiana Jones 4, which, okay, I have to admit, Indiana Jones 4 was the movie that got me into Indiana Jones. It was the first Indiana Jones movie I saw, and I was, like, really stoked, and I liked it, and I was like, oh, this is great. And then my roommate was like, no. And so she made me watch the first three, and then she made me watch 4 immediately after, and then I was like, no, I don't know what I was thinking. So, I don't know, it's going to be really interesting, guys.
It is. I'm surprised they're not going for the reboot, but I guess Harrison Ford is back in the acting thing, and he's like, oh yeah, this is fun.
I was thinking about that.
It's like he remembered, yeah.
It was to me, like, as soon as he heard that they were going to get a younger, hotter guy to play his, like, Indiana Jones, he was like, oh, no, I'll come back. That's what's happening in my head.
We'll see what happens with that. I know people are super excited about this, so it's good news.
Definitely. Well, maybe by the time Indiana Jones has been shot, you'll be able to watch it in the comfort of your own home. Because, probably not, but because Variety reported that there is in the pipeline a plan for Steven Spielberg, J.J. Abrams, Peter Jackson to possibly be behind the ability to watch theater ready films, like films that are currently in theaters, in your own home. They supposedly, the box, like that they're considering all of this. It's in the very basic first stages, but they want to have you buy like a $150 box that is anti-piracy equipped, and it would allow you to stream these special streams for the movies, and then it would cost you an additional $50 for each one. I'm like, okay, if you can afford the $150 box to keep it at your house at all times for movie watching, then sure. Because I can imagine if you're going to stream a $50 movie, you can invite a handful of friends over and split that cost, and it would probably save you money in the long run.
What's the price of a movie ticket over there?
I mean, it's somewhere ranges between $8 to $12 or $13, depending on
where you are
and what you're seeing. And
sometimes, like, it can be as expensive as like $16 for a movie ticket.
But yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That's so true. Especially if you can pick your work or something too. Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And you won't have people behind you throwing popcorn or making all kinds of noise. Like, there are a lot of perks. I love seeing movies in the theater, so I don't know if this would be something that even I would be interested in. But it is nice to think about that maybe someday you won't have to go to the theater to see everything. But
we're getting closer and closer to that reality in WALL-E, guys. Everything is leading towards us driving around in those chairs with the TVs in front of our faces all the time. Yay, progress. No, I think that there was one complaint I saw about this on Hypeable's Twitter that said that this is potentially very bad news for writers because they get a lot of their income off of movie tickets. You know, obviously the whole box office thing, this would be like the Netflix of the movie industry, and it would potentially derail the entire system of how people actually make money on these things. So, I mean, but obviously with these big directors backing it, we have to think they've got some kind of plan for that.
Yeah, and sure there would be changes to how they reimburse people. Like, if this is something that becomes super popular, if they keep it, you know, somewhat affordable, I'm sure that they'll have to make changes because, like, yeah, if ticket... Personally, I don't know how much of each ticket goes to each person. You know, like, I don't know the breakdown, but I can imagine that if this is a service that becomes super popular super quickly, they're going to find a way to make sure that it's feasible, that they can still make these films and also make enough money to make seeing them at home worthwhile for them as well as the consumer.
Right.
All right. Well, big news. It might be on hiatus, but it sounds like Harry Styles might be hitting the silver screen, you guys. This was actually revealed by Deadline. And according to Deadline, they have it on good authority that Harry Styles might be starring in Christopher Nolan's upcoming World War II drama, Dunkirk. And so this movie is actually based off of a military evacuation, also known as Operation Dynamo, which saved more than 300,000 soldiers when they were trapped by the German military in a harbor during World War II. The film stars some pretty big names, including Tom Hardy, Kenneth Branagh, and Mark Rylance, who, of course, won Best Actor at this year's Academy Awards for Bridge of Spies. So this is some pretty big company that Styles is kind of coming into. The one thing that you should know about this, though, is that he's not being looked at for a main role, so he'll be more like a supporting character. But either way, if he chooses to take this on as kind of his first big step into acting, it's not a bad place to kind of make your debut.
Absolutely. How do you feel about this?
Well, I have never really seen him do anything aside from music videos, so I don't. But again, I feel like it would be horrible to judge somebody based off of what they've never been allowed to do publicly. But for the most part, I mean, most people that go into any kind of entertainment, they're performers by nature. So I think that if he wants to get his feet wet, a drama would be a good way to kind of exercise that muscle. And I will wait to reserve judgment when this comes out if he does indeed sign on for this. Right now, he's kind of just rumored to be in talks to sign on to the movie. So we'll just have to wait and see. But I'm a sucker for war dramas, so I'll probably go see this anyway. And this is actually going to come out in 2017, July 21st of 2017. So we have a few more years to kind of see where this goes. But, yeah. He'll learn a lot if he ends up doing this. Because, I mean, if you're in the company of Kenneth Branagh and Tom Hardy and Mark Rylance, it's like, wow, you're already learning from great people. So
yeah, and Chris Nolan's not a stunt caster. He's not someone who like puts someone in one of his movies that he doesn't believe in. He's really good with his cast. So if he sees Harry Styles as someone who could be in this movie, then I believe the kid's got to have some ability and some talent in that aspect too.
Absolutely, I agree. This is exciting. So, next story?
Okay, next up on our story, next up on our list, is my favorite story of the entire episode, like, no offense to anyone else. The trailer for Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children has just been released this week, and it looks amazing. Like, from the moment that we got the news that Tim Burton was going to pick up this book series for adaptation, I was thrilled. And so I was waiting, and then we got the stills like last week, and it was like really exciting. And Eva Green is the star. She's Miss Peregrine, which is amazing. And we get this trailer, and it absolutely like blew my mind away. It is 100% a Tim Burton film, but not in a way that ruins the novel. It just brings and combines Ransom Riggs' creation with Tim Burton's originality, and it's really great. I had a lot of people ask what this is about, like if I should read the book, and if you've seen this trailer and you haven't read the book, like I definitely suggest that you read the book, because people are referencing, or they're looking at this trailer and they're going like, oh, this is like X-Men but like weird. And I'm like, like yes and no. It's you have to take a look at the book as a completely different thing, because in the book are these photographs that Ransom Riggs has discovered, and they're all original photographs. They haven't been edited. If they have been edited, then they were edited when they were first made and first taken, like 60 or 70 years ago. And so he found these photos, and they have all these really wonderful, weird people and crazy things in them, and he was like, I'm gonna make a book out of these photos. And so that's exactly what he did. He made a novel and based them around the characters or people in these photos, and he interwove every single one of the photos into the book itself. So as you're reading about a character that's like invisible, you'll see an actual photo of like just clothes, like standing up, right? So you've all read it, right? Like most of you?
Yeah, I have not.
I read it on your recommendation, Kyle, a few years ago, and I loved it so much. The thing I sort of felt while reading it was that Ransom Riggs wrote this to be a movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it was so cinematic. Also, the way the action is built up, it's built up like a movie. And the images obviously lend themselves to a cinematic world. I love the images. I thought using the images in this way was just such a fantastic, original idea. Are you going to talk about Emma?
Yes.
because Tim Burton may have ruined the movie for me because I'm so mad. Yeah.
Okay. So for those who are curious, have you all seen the trailer?
Yeah.
Okay. So I recommend you check out the trailer before listening to this next part because it'll make a lot more sense. But in this trailer, you'll see this girl whose power is like air, and like she like has this amazing scene where she takes the main character underwater and like blows out the entire room of a ship so that they can breathe, and like he's like carrying her on a rope and stuff. That character's name is Emma. And originally in the book, actually, her power was not that of levitation and air. Her power was flames. It was fire. And it was swapped out with a different character. And Tim Burton... it wasn't Tim Burton, but a couple of the people have actually referenced this on Instagram. Like, I know Ransom Riggs brought it up, and the actress who played Emma brought it up. And they were like, I understand that you guys are mad, because when you do something so drastic and switch the powers completely of a character, people are bound to be upset. But they said that it had to happen for a cinematic point of view, and I don't know. Why does it ruin it for you, Selena?
But that's the problem, Kyle. Like, that is exactly the problem. And I know, like, and again, I try not to complain about things unless I legitimately feel like it's the problem, because I don't just want to complain about everything. But when I think it's a problem, I also want to complain about it. So pardon me for a second. The thing is that taking your main... And I know movies have done a lot for female characters, and this is an isolated incident, and we don't have to be that worried about it. It's just because I love the book so much, and I love the character of Emma a lot. Taking your main female character and turning her... Emma had fire power. She had this, you know, she couldn't really touch anything. She burned everything. She had a really strong, especially in the second book, she has a lot of scenes where those powers become very, very useful for fighting off the bad guys. Taking the main female character and turning her from an action character into an aesthetic is a problem. Like that, I'm sorry, yeah. But that it's a problem to make this change for aesthetic reasons. And I think it was the actress who played her who said, yeah, guys, I see what you mean. I was really looking forward to Emma getting to kick some ass. But, and I was like, seeing the picture, seeing the trailer, it looks great, but the point of your main female character is not to look great. Not in 2016, I'm sorry. But I thought we had moved beyond stuff like this. And just seeing Tim Burton do this just reminds me that in a lot of ways, he's making movies in a different time than the rest of us are living in. And in some ways, that can be a good thing. But unfortunately, in this case, I feel like reducing your female character to an aesthetic, it's not something that I think is a great thing, and I'm never gonna think that's a great thing.
Yeah, no,
making her literally weightless, you know, she has no weight, he has to drag her around on a string, like, yeah. Thinking that's a good image in the first place is a problem.
No, I totally get what you mean, absolutely. That's what I love about, like, your opinions and stuff, because they always, like, they always like have such good points, and like you like it just makes so much sense, and I totally understand why you're upset, but I think it's gonna be a fantastic movie, and I'm really looking forward to it, and I really hope they don't change like that. I mean, they already changed a lot, but it's gonna be
I'm judging this based on the trailer. For all I know, she has these huge, powerful action scenes, but that still doesn't negate the fact that the change was made for an aesthetic reason, yeah. You know?
And that's kind of
lame. But, you know, yeah, we'll see the movie and we'll judge the movie. But your first impression is also always important.
Fun fact, this is one of, if not the only one, obviously, but one of the only movies that Tim Burton has done in which his wife is not involved.
Yeah. Well, didn't they get divorced?
Oh. Okay. No wonder.
Yeah. That would explain a lot. Mystery solved.
Whoops.
Is Johnny Depp in it?
No. Johnny Depp is not in this either.
That's the bigger...
Right?
The bigger
Although, I will say, the little girl in the set photos looks like a miniature Helena Bonham Carter.
Oh, yeah. I see it.
Like her face is almost... Like, she looks like Helena Bonham Carter... 20 years ago, like 30 years ago. Like, she is a miniature, and it freaks me out a little bit.
Maybe, oh my god, you're right.
Yeah.
Is it his child? We need to look this up. We should be more prepared. This is important information. Okay, anyway, I'm sure you guys, the listeners, have thoughts on this too, and we would love to hear them. And you should read the book, because it's great.
Yes, it's amazing. Oh my god, I keep recommending it to everyone.
Well, speaking to book to film adaptations, this is not very closely follow Meg Cabot's books, but for those of you who are fans of The Princess Diaries, it looks like Princess Diaries 3 might actually be happening. So the director actually gave an interview with People magazine. So Gary Marshall told People that he and Anne Hathaway are both on board for the possibility of a third film, which is really exciting because this is something that we've kind of been hearing rumors about for a while, and it's all in like very much the beginning stages, but pretty much they kind of just had very light chats about what could happen, and it sounds like they've even talked about having the third movie take place in New York, which would be very interesting because we've seen Mia in Genovia, and we've seen Mia in San Francisco, where she originally hails from, and now if we saw her in New York, that would be kind of cool just to kind of see what would happen when she took over that city. So no other word yet on, you know, what could potentially happen with this, but I feel like if Anne Hathaway is interested, and so is the original director, like, this might only mean good things for us.
I'm so excited.
Is this something that you guys would be excited? I was going to ask.
I literally just watched that, like, what, like 4 hours ago? The Princess Diaries 1? This is one of my favorite movie series of all time, and I love the second one, too, if not more than the first. It's going to be amazing if they do get it back, but like, also I have so many like contingencies, and like they have to do so many things in my head in order for it to be good. Like, Julie Andrews has to be in it, Chris Pine has to be in it, because I can't deal with three different movies and three different love interests for her. Like, this,
what if what's his face came back,
which one,
Josh,
Michael?
Yeah, what if Michael came back?
Okay, if Michael came back, I'd be that. Okay, that'd be cool. No, because I want Princess Mia, I almost said Anne, to, like, be... I mean, okay, hold on. I need to say this correctly. It does not matter whether or not she does have a man, but after all of the, like, stuff she went through in the first movie and in the second movie with her romance, it would be really nice to see her like finally like settle down and be happy. You know, obviously she can be an amazing independent queen, but like, it would be just really, really nice for us to not have to see her
an amazing independent queen. I think I found my episode title.
Okay.
Guys,
okay, great, thanks. It would just be really nice not to see her struggle with that for once. I wanted to see her struggle with something else other than romance, you know, with the duties of being a queen, you know, whether or not she's single or has a man. I don't want romance to be a part of it, because we've already seen her try to get a boyfriend like twice, you know.
Yeah, well, she's like she's a lot older, and she's a lot more set, she's probably a lot more experienced, and we might see, you know, her, because the whole thing in the second one was about her not figuring out like how to avoid having to get married to keep a hold of her kingdom. So it'll be interesting to see where it goes. I just want Julie Andrews in it. That's my only caveat.
Same.
Yep.
And a slide. Another one of those slides.
Yes, please.
Good news.
It's gonna be great.
Yeah, is that there's a lot of good news on this week's show. There's also the news that came almost right after we recorded last week, which was that the CW sort of pulled a surprise on all of us and renewed all of 11 of its scripted shows. That includes, well, it is The 100, The Vampire Diaries, Rain, Arrow, Flash, iZombie, Jane the Virgin, the original Supernatural, Legends of Tomorrow, and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. So basically all of our favorite shows are coming back for another season, and already know this now. I am so happy, and I'm so relieved.
I know why you're happy.
Well, why are you happy, Kyle?
I'm not happy.
Oh, okay. you're upset. How dare these fans find happiness for another year?
Yeah, how? Come on. Every show should have killed everyone off this past season.
No. Well, they are trying.
No, I'm just kind of frustrated just because Vampire Diaries has gone on for so long and it felt like it was going to have like a nice natural like ending, but like they're pulling a Supernatural thing where like I think they're just gonna keep, you know, giving it life after it's been dead for so long, you know? I don't know. Does that make any sense?
Are you up to date on this season, Kyle?
I am.
Like, are you still watching? Because it's been really good this season.
No, it has
been.
I'll
admit,
yeah.
TVD had a lot of issues last year, like figuring out how to deal with losing the originals was an issue first. And then last year it was, I think, preparing for Nina's exit and like figuring out how to handle that and finding a new villain. Like they had a lot of issues, but I feel like this season has been really strong for them. So if they're going to continue down this path, I'm okay with it. I think they could do another season without it being crazy awful.
Yeah. My, one of my...
This is a good bar for any show.
One of my theories, or not my theories, but one of the theories that I read up was people think that Nina is coming back. Because I can't imagine, I don't know, I can't imagine Paul or Anne wanting to stay on for this long. Because they just seem so, they both, like, when you interview them, when you talk about the show, like, they don't have, like, this love that so many other actors have about their TV shows. They're just kind of like, yeah, like, it's my job, I like it, it's cool, all right, I'm done. Like, you know? Like, you've interviewed them, right? Like...
I have not.
Oh. Whoops.
But, I mean...
I have.
Okay.
You need to make somebody to... I mean, like, I think that, like, if you're talking about, like, cancellation, it's, like, it's... I think it was interesting to hear that they were going to come back because they all kind of seem a little over it.
Yeah, that's exactly my point.
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe that's just me.
They all seem so over it. And so... I feel like if they're coming back, then Nina has to come back or something.
To be fair, Kristen made a good point, which is that last season a lot of people fell off the bandwagon. But if Julie has given them more to work with, I would understand why as an actor you'd want to come back if you still feel like there's more for you to show the audience. Yeah. In Nina's case, she felt like she had done everything. And when she laid it out, she really had. I mean, she has had one of the most complex, like, opportunities as an actress to be a part of this show for, you know, the amount of time that she was there. And the others, meanwhile, have really just played kind of the same version of themselves. Like, you had, like Ripper Stefan and not Ripper Stefan, or you had, like, Evil Damien and not Evil Damien. And it's just, like, a back and forth. And nobody really got the opportunities that she got. But, you know, maybe Julie is letting them have more of that.
Damien. I know. I like you just to call, you just call him Damien.
Did I call him Damien?
Yeah, twice.
Yeah, you did.
So much
that is a Freudian slip.
Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting for a lot of reasons. But I am so happy about the 100. Hello. Yes.
Oh my God, Kyle. Oh my God, Kristen. I'm so relieved. You guys, yeah. I'm just so relieved because I feel like the 100 has a lot of issues right now. And we've talked at length about why those issues are deserved. You know, we're seeing a lot of backlash for their treatment of a certain character. And it sort of feels like a wake up call for entertainment in general, that in the way that they can and should treat characters that represent a minority that isn't usually being treated very well. That said, there are a lot of characters in the 100. There are a lot of stories to tell. There are a lot of places for it to go. And there are a lot of writers and actors and everyone involved working on this thing that they love. And it would be such a shame for the show to go out now after this. And the fact that it gets another year to continue its story, to continue bringing us those great... Before this character entered the show was amazing. And I think it's going to be amazing in season 4, and I'm just so relieved that it gets a chance to continue.
I have a semi-big question for you.
We're an hour in. Go for it.
Sorry.
go for it.
Do you think that the 100 can redeem themselves in the way that they've treated LGBT characters with their new relationship with Will and his boyfriend.
Will? Brian.
Brian.
And
why did I say Will? Yeah, sorry.
I have no idea. You know what? To be honest with you, Kyle, and I'll let Kristen answer this too, I don't think that they need to do that with Brian and Miller, because I think they have plenty of opportunity to do it with Clark. You know, I think we forget Clark. I know, and we can talk about it because everyone knows. The thing about Lexa was that she came in and she took over the fandom and the show by storm. She stole the screen. She stole the audience's heart. She became a symbol of something. But she was a guest character. She was ultimately, and I know people don't like it when I say this, but she was there to serve the main characters in some way, like guest characters always are. And she took on a life of her own, and the way they killed her off resonated very badly with a lot of people because it played into a very common trope. But at the end of the day, Clark is our lead bisexual hero of the show. And whatever they... like, I feel like what they do with her and how they treat her is what's going to matter in the long run. And this is when they have a chance to set it straight, to use a terrible phrasing. And you know, I hope they don't have plans for Berlark anytime soon, because I feel like that would not go over well, very well right now.
That is so far off if it ever happens. Like, they could not be further apart. At all. Like, there's no way.
I feel like this is, like, we're forgetting Clark in this whole discussion, and we shouldn't, because she is in fact our hero, and she is in fact the one that shocked, or not shocked, but that delighted people when they found out that she had this relationship with boys, and then she was like, oh my god, Lexa, and then they played to that, and they let Lexa become this awesome person, partly because of her relationship with Clark. So I feel like, I hope that a lot of the fans, that they stick around, and that the show finds a new fan base, and that they sort of show that they're still about these values, and they had a misstep with Lex, and it was very unfortunate. And as writer Javier, like Guillaume Maxwatch has said, they thought that they had told a good enough story that playing into the trope wouldn't be a bad thing, because they had built Lexa up to be so awesome, and clearly that the fandom disagrees, and that's a lesson they can learn and hopefully grow from. And I hope they get a chance to do that. Kristen,
I was gonna say, and addressing like Kyle's specific question, I love that this show is completed before it starts airing, because they probably predicted people being somewhat upset about Lexa. There's no getting away from that. Everyone's going to be upset. But I don't think there's any way they could have predicted the backlash they've got. Mm. And yet, Miller and Brian sort of came to the forefront an episode later, and mm-hmm. we're seeing them. I don't think in any way they meant for them to take the place of Lexa and Clark or to pacify fans. I don't think that's it at all, because we've always kind of questioned Miller a little bit, and people have questioned Monty and what, you know, what he might be gay.
Break my heart.
So I don't think at all that they're trying to replace Lexa and Clark. I think it's just yet another set of characters that we haven't seen very much of, and now we're going to get to. Like, I'm more excited that Miller's getting screen time than anything else, because poor guy has been like a goon for a while. Like, he's just been Bellamy's muscle, and I'm really happy to see him like getting involved in the plot. So I'm just really, really excited about everything, and I really hope that the fans that are finding the show now and that have seen what's happened, like, can make peace with what the story is telling and see that the story is there. And that while there is definitely a lot of lessons learned with their treatment of Lexa, that, yeah, as Selena said, Clark is still our lead, and Clark is still our bisexual heroine who is kicking ass and taking names, and you best believe mm-hmm. she's not going to let this just happen. Like, she's going to be fighting tooth and nail. We just haven't seen her do it yet because we had to see what was going on elsewhere. So, yeah, I'm excited for season 4, because it gives them a lot more space. To now we know we're getting more, and and we can see more of this world. I'm just geeked for the whole thing.
Right, exactly. The 100 is all about normalizing diversity. I mean, that's, I've always said, that's one of the primary aims of it. It's including women and people of color and other sexuality in a way that feels normal and makes us, not, or the characters on the screen, not question, like, they are just united or they are split for other reasons. So ironically, the fact that they sort of treated Lexa like any other character and killed her off when the story called for it is what is causing them backlash. So hopefully they learn to sort of be a little bit more careful with this stuff, even though I hope they continue to do stuff like include Miller and his boyfriend without any drama and like just do stuff like that, you know. And Miller and his boyfriend obviously are also an interracial couple, and that's also completely non-issue, as it should be. And I love that the show does that, and I'm glad that it gets another season to explore that and to, as we say, learn from its mistakes, you know. Mm-hmm. Any other of the CW shows that we're particularly excited about? iZombie, Legends of Tomorrow,
Jane the Virgin.
Jane the Virgin. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the original. A lot of these are
my baby.
Good.
Legends All of Tomorrow, them? I'm really excited about because the season has kind of been lacking, in my opinion. And so.
I like it. I think it's nice. It's very uncomplicated.
It's really, yeah. And that's why I think it needs to it needs to grow. I think it just has a lot of growing to do. And I think a second season is going to allow it to do that.
Absolutely. We could talk about the CW all day, but we do have a bit more other TV news to talk about before we get into our TV section.
Yes, let's move over to MTV, because there's this really, really fun show called Teen Wolf that, if you didn't know, it's getting a season 6. And we got a trailer as soon as season 5 ended for season 6. And Jeff Davis, being the... just menace that he is. He tweeted that, or not tweeted because he's not on Twitter, but he made sure that everyone knew that there was a big hint as to what the big issue and the big problem in season 6. There's a huge hint in the trailer. And so everyone watched this trailer, and trust me, Karen and I sat there and watched it like frame by frame trying to figure out what this big hint was, because nothing stuck out. Like, a lot of it was footage from season 5 that they were using to kind of, you know, merge the two seasons. We were like, the only new shot is of this guy riding a horse. Like, it makes no sense. And then some fans flipped the trailer and played it backwards, and backwards you hear the words mind control over top of the pictures. Yeah, and it changes the whole trailer, because instead of Styles fading out, he's popping into the picture. And nonetheless, wow. he pulled. I remember in the 90s, us all being fascinated with playing things backwards.
That all the time, yeah.
Yeah, like, it was a whole thing growing up. I remember this. And so him taking that into account and flipping the whole thing and putting this on there, it was just really good fun. It took the fandom a while to get there and to find it, but they did. And so season 6 will be centering around mind control and how that is going to affect the world of Beacon Hills. I have no idea. It's already crazy, but it's sure to be even crazier.
That sounds amazing. I know people are like, no, I saw a lot of negative tweets about this, actually, but this sounds really awesome.
Yeah, it does. I need to watch season 5. Gosh darn it.
I need to watch season 3.
Oh, no.
there's some good stuff in season 3.
I heard about the big character death, and I was like, I don't want to watch anymore. And then I discovered the 100, and now I watch nothing else.
And, you know, character deaths.
Hey, yeah. Always good.
Yeah. Never get away.
Well, okay, speaking of a show that doesn't have any character death.
I was going to say.
We got our official season 2 trailer for The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and I'm so excited. The Netflix original series revolving around a woman who is stuck in a bunker for most of her life, and she has to go out and explore the world now as an adult. And season 1 was amazing. Have you guys seen it?
Yes.
Okay, good. It's it's going to be amazing this season. I think season 2 is going to be fantastic. I plan on sitting down the night it airs with my bottle of Pinot Noir. and I'm going to, like, just binge all of it. And the trailer, she's in it. Kimmy's, like, sees a year-round Christmas store, and there's a new song about a kitty and a bunny, and you just have to watch the trailer. It's great.
Yeah.
I say it's exciting. Great a lot in this episode, but it's true.
And I will be singing that theme song for the rest of the night.
Oh my god,
every
right?
time I hear the name of the show, I end up singing the theme
song. Unbreakable. It's so good.
So good. Our last story, and possibly my most favorite thing in the world, is that Josh Molina, who most people may recognize from his work on Scandal as David Rosen, was also played a character on The West Wing named Will Bailey. And he and his friend, whose name I can barely, it's going to be awful, Hirakesh Hirway, I'm going to say is how you pronounce it. They've created a podcast in which they're going to review and recap each episode of The West Wing from start to finish. Wow. And along the way, they're going to have guest stars, maybe some people from the show popping in. We've already seen Peter James Smith, who played Ed of Larry and Ed. They're kind of a ridiculous pair of staffers who just pop in and out, and people love them as Larry and Ed. He's already basically said that he's been invited and will be coming on. And Lin-Manuel Miranda, who you may know from, I don't know, Hamilton maybe, is a huge fan. He's a huge West Wing fan, and he kind of threw his hat in the ring, and Molina was very quick to respond and say, let me think about it. Yeah. Absolutely. So there will be a lot of really fun breakdowns going on. I'm so excited for this. Any way to experience The West Wing again is good in my book.
This makes me so happy. I'm like, sounds like awesome. not because I'm a West Wing fan, because little do you all know, Kristen, Marima, Christina, and I all tried to do our own West Wing part of Sorkin series, where we had a podcast about Aaron Sorkin, and we covered Newsroom mostly, and we were going to cover the West Wing while the Newsroom was off, and Christina and I, both of us noobs, did not like the West Wing, and so we would be dreading every single episode that we had to watch, and so we had to cancel it. But I'm happy for this, because it just reminds me of good times that I had with Kristen and Marima. So.
Yeah, Marima and I could barely contain our, like, disappointment that they could not get into the show. We made it in, I think, 4 episodes before they were both like, we can't watch this. And we're like, what?
Oh, my God. That's so worse. Oh, my God, Kyle. That's, like, the worst thing you could do to a fan. Are you have any idea how much I've cried over Buffy these past few months? So that's a lie. I don't cry anymore. My tears have all dried up. No. Yeah. I think you should give it another chance, Kyle.
I think you should watch this podcast. You know?
Yes, absolutely. Is that it for TV news? I believe it is. Yeah. So moving into TV show of the week, I'll just really briefly say that I caught up on Agent Carter at last. I put off the last 4 episodes, just like I've never watched the Fringe finale because I didn't want it to end. And now it's too late because I forgot everything that happened. So that was a fail. But Agent Carter is so good. The singing part was so good. I love her so much. And I'm so sad it's over. I want another. Me and Marima and Pam talked about this. We need another like 50 seasons to catch us up to the current timeline. We think that's only fair. So I'm holding out for that. Very, very sad. It's off. And I just need it in my life. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's it. Karen and I caught up too, and I agree with everything.
You caught up like a day after me. It was very weird.
Yeah,
like this was the time to watch it. Apparently,
apparently, we all just felt the need.
Yeah, I'm gonna miss it. I hope it comes back. I hope Netflix saves it. So, Kristen, what have you been watching?
Well, this week's episode of Supergirl was just downright amazing. have mentioned this before, I was a huge Smallville fan, and some of my favorite episodes were the Red Kryptonite episodes. And this past week, Kara was exposed to Red Kryptonite, and it's just one of those things in a Superman, planet Krypton-centric show, like a show that's using the whole mythology. They have to eventually come into contact with some other form of kryptonite. It's just a thing. And the red kryptonite is a really great tool to use for the show because it allows Kara to, like, get out all of her deepest, darkest truths, like things that she would never say, but the red kryptonite just brings them out of her. And so seeing her play a totally different version of Kara and seeing how that affects her when she, you know, like when they finally get it out of her, like it was such a good episode. And Supergirl just continues to get better and better every episode, and I'm in love.
I actually just
might have to give it another chance.
That episode,
do it.
I gave up too soon.
It's so
I just
good.
Watched that episode today, like before we started, and oh my gosh, the ending. I have no idea what this means for the rest of the show. Like so good. So exciting.
Yeah. Awesome. So, Kyle, House of Cards is on Netflix now. You've watched it. Have you watched it all?
No. I've watched up to episode 8, so no spoilers. But it's just as good as every other season, I think. I don't know. I've been giving a lot of praise on this episode for everything that I've, like, mentioned. And while it is a little slower than previous seasons, just because of the entire, like, political race, it's like there's not as much, like, I don't know, murder or, like, poisoning or, like, anything like that happening. It's
like Kyle's notes needs more murder.
yeah pretty much. But other than that, it's really enthralling, and just the timing of it all is so perfect with the U.S. election coming right alongside it. Like, it's just really entertaining to see how fictional characters go around running for presidency and how non-fictional characters go running for presidency. So it's really interesting. I definitely recommend you all watch season 4 immediately.
Yeah. See, I would say now is my turn to say I watched about 4 episodes of the first season of House of Cards and could not watch another. So,
no way!
So there, Kyle.
What? And everyone told me that if you love West Wing, you'll love House of Cards, and I just couldn't do it.
No way! Really?
Really. Aww. I'll give it another chance someday, but I was just not impressed. And that's kind of ridiculous, but it's true.
I mean, it's kind of ridiculous I don't like West Wing, so, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We should both just swap and give the other another try.
Yeah, we should.
That sounds beautiful. And Pam, do you want to finish off this segment?
Sure. So I'm still on my Walking Dead kick because Walking Dead is awesome, and I always forget how much I miss it until it comes back. This past week's episode was amazing, and I think a lot of fans really enjoyed it because it was a very, like, heavy female-centric episode. There's a lot of girls kicking butt in it on both sides. I know that Kristen hasn't watched yet, so it's kind of going to be hard to talk about it without spoiling, but yeah, let's just say that there's some people that get captured and there's some other people that are doing the capturing, and it's really, really intense for a lot of different reasons. But if you haven't caught up yet, you should do that because things are getting good, and Rick and Co. are still trying to get to the bottom of the mystery that is Negan, and they're not getting any closer. So, you know, the stakes are getting higher and higher, and it's going to be interesting to see where they go from here. But really, really great episode this past week, for sure.
Really thankful
sounds
that I haven't been spoiled on Walking Dead at all. Like, I have no clue. And this is the perfect time for me to watch because I should get into it, and I really want to, but, like, I got nothing. And spoilers usually keep me from watching. It's like the universe is telling me to watch it, because...
Well, fair warning, I found that people in your shoes usually have trouble getting into the first season.
Yes,
but
it's
hang in
so
there,
hard.
It does get better. Yeah, see, that's the whole thing, and I feel like, people either, like, automatically love it or they hate it, so it takes them a while to really get into it, but if you stick with it, you'll probably really enjoy it.
Okay. All right. I'm so intrigued.
Yeah.
Before we continue,
maybe playing The Last of Us will help you get in the mood.
Oh, maybe.
There you go.
Yeah. I'll do both. I'll like watch it at night and then I'll play Last of Us during the day. Yeah.
What were you gonna say, Kyle?
I was gonna say before we continue, I already talked about my TV show of the week, but I have to bring this up because I literally just thought about it, and it's so big that it has to be mentioned. The Bachelor. Hello.
So big, you guys. It's like our target audience. It is most favorite thing.
Okay, listen. A lot of people on Hypeable watch The Bachelor. Okay. I had to bring it up because it just made me so happy. And I'm not going to say who the winner is because I don't want to spoil anyone. But I was sitting on my couch.
One of the pretty blonde girls?
Yep, it is one.
One
of the several pretty blonde girls. I recently got into it, as I think I've mentioned in the past on this on Hype. And the finale was this past week. And everyone and their mom is talking about it. Funny story for you guys. I was hanging out with Minnie Mouse two nights ago.
As you do.
As I do. And it was, at a restaurant, so Minnie would go around each table and say hi to, all the guests and whatnot. And I was signing a book, Minnie was signing a book, and one of the moms was telling her sister, oh, did you see The Bachelor? Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. And I threw down the autograph book, and I was like, shh! And then, I put my finger over her mouth, and I was like, shh! And then they're like, oh, Minnie hasn't watched The Bachelor yet, has she? And I was like, no! So, that's how into it I am, guys. And I'm really happy about it. And I really just wanted to vent. Because please tell me if you watch The Bachelor, readers or listeners, because I can't be alone. I'm very alone on this panel right now. And it makes me so sad.
Yes. Yes, you are. Thank you for setting me up for that transition, Kyle. If you want to let Kyle know how you feel about The Bachelor and the very exciting final episode, you can do that by tweeting us at HypeableHype. And you can do that by email, hype@hypeable.com. And you can find us on Hypeable, which is HYPABLE.com. We have some feedback this week that we want to run through as quickly as we can. The first one is an email that I wanted to bring up just because I thought it was fun and we don't have a lot of time to talk about it. But this was from Joe. This was from Joe, who writes, "Hello, Hypes. I don't know if any of the hosts have already seen this already, but I thought you might find it fun and interesting. This website compiled the top binge Netflix shows in each U.S. state. I think Selena will be happy to see that Buffy is on there." So I was looking at this map, and I realized I have no idea where the states are in the Americas. According to Kristen, Kentucky is the one that just binge-watched Buffy, so that's interesting.
I thought it was really interesting that almost every state is a different show. I thought there would be a lot more duplicates, especially with, modern shows or, things that are topical at the time. I'm curious as to how they made this. Did they use an entire year? Did they use, just one month or what? I wonder how they made this distinction, because there's a lot of shows represented, and I didn't think that would be the case.
And
This is also telling me a lot about where I need to move so I can talk to people about my favorite shows, because I don't even know what the heck is Children's Hospital. Should I know what that is?
No.
Yeah, I have no idea what that was either.
Apparently, that's what everybody in California is streaming.
ER soap. Yeah.
Yeah, except for me and Kyle.
Yeah, right? I'm really interested and entertained by the fact that Oregon watched Portlandia.
I was going to say, I think Selena needs to move to Kentucky because they seem to be the Buffy fans.
Yeah.
Fairly.
Up there.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep. Oops.
That sounds fun. Anyway, we'll link to this in the show notes. It was on the homesnacks.net, so that's just a fun little thing. And moving through the rest of the comments, if we just take it in order, so Pam, Kyle, Kristen, you just read.
Sure. We have a comment from George who says, "I don't get how you guys think Jimmy Kimmel is forced when Jimmy Fallon has one of the fakest laughs out there." So I'm going to hand this over to, I don't know, one of you guys was talking about this.
Hey, okay, Jimmy Fallon is hysterical. And even if his laugh is fake, the things that he does to produce laughs is not. And I find them funny as hell. So
they're all fake. We just have to buy into the fake reality of TV.
Into it.
I mean, we have Jimmy Fallon to thank for karaoke.
Yes.
Whatchamacallit.
Oh, my God.
He's the one who originated that. So, I mean, give him a break.
Yeah, seriously.
The lip sync battle. That's what it is. Lip sync battle. Wow.
Mm-hmm. and then Allie Sweetland says, trying to contain myself while watching Tiny Feminists at work. Thanks for the recommendation. Hypo Will Hype and Marima White.
Olivia Cantrell tweeted to say, but like, guys, I'm obsessed with Miles Teller. LOL.
Well, he's out of the running.
Yep.
That's true. Sorry.
I commiserate with you, though, Olivia. So, too bad. The Lady Ash says, I absolutely loved the first Gilmore Girls special. Thank you. We're glad you liked it.
Yay! And I'll just take this one quickly. This was related to the Gilmore Girls special as well. Just Bagged says, by the way, Selena's seeing similarities between Parks and Recreation and Stars Hollow are totally relevant because writer Aisha Moharrar is a huge Gilmore Girls fan. Cool. I like that that was relevant and not just random. And Ning Z?
Ning Z says, catching up on Hypeable Hype, and just heard that Selena's mom is an anthropologist. Coolness you level could. Just went up a million times.
I had to include that one, guys.
I mean, your mom is and, cool.
She is.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And last but never least, we got a tweet from Laura Haynes who says, listening to Hamilton while writing science papers, who said scientists don't appreciate art?
Yes, absolutely. And I would like to include that that is hashtag writing, hashtag science, hashtag papers. I like that. Seems accurate. So yeah, very cool. Thank you so much for everyone who wrote in. We are requesting more emails because we love listening or we love hearing more in detail what you guys have to say. So please do consider sending us an email, hype@hypeable.com. And you can, of course, always tweet us at Hypeable Hype, and you can leave us comments on hypeable.com as well. We will be back next week for Hype episode 92 to talk about all the recent entertainment news. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Selena.
My name is Pamela.
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Kristen.
Bye, everyone. Welcome to Hype. 6 a.m., guys. Let's try again.